Inside our longing spirit wings from earth where yet we roam. And can we call our home our house on high? The best of God, our rest to come, our place of liberty. 64.
Oh, bright and blessed scenes, where sin can never come. The sight our loving spirit weaves, from earth where yet
Why don't we reopen to Romans chapter 10 again? Together, please. For a few moments, I would like to continue a little bit on sanctification, and I'd like to take up a third part of the topic. That would be the consummation of our sanctification. Please bear with me in my speech. Hebrews 10 and 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The book of Hebrews is a book of positional sanctification. And there's been much talk about it this weekend, and I wasn't here for all of it. It's a beautiful topic to enjoy. And in this passage, it is the superiority of the sacrifice of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had read from Isaiah 53. And verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. And I had compared it to verse 6 of Hebrews 10, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. The one offering that was so far superior completely and fully pleased the Lord, pleased God the Father, His perfect and spotless Son, shedding that precious blood on Calvary's tree for your sins and for mine. And so we see positionally this passage in Hebrews 10 and 10. And throughout the book of Hebrews, it is a positional, except for chapter 12 and verse 14. And we also heard about the eternal positioning. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and the powers in the heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purposes which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And sometime referred to as an eternal plan, maybe that's how it was referred to by my brother. We see the foreknowledge, we see the wisdom, and we see the eternal plan. And there in the book of Isaiah, when we read that, it pleased God to bruise him. The depth of the verse, and it relies and hinges upon the perfection and the superiority of the sacrifice. You can take that and you can read it and you can study it in many a different ways. The same way in Hebrews 10 and 10, we are positionally sanctified by God. We are positionally sanctified to God. And we are positionally sanctified for God. and you can look at it in each one of the ways. I can remember studying Isaiah in that verse. And what led me to that was two very elder gentlemen standing in a hallway and discussing the verse. And I had utmost respect for those two elders. I was a young man in Christ. And the one made a comment about the depth of that verse. And I went home and I studied. And I studied. And then I'd leave it for a while. And then a month or two later, I'd come back. And I'd leave it for a while and I'd come back again. And one day I read that after Jesus had died, bowed his head and gave up the spirit, along came the soldier and pierced into his side that sword. And I said, And then I started to wonder, did God give him the power to push that spear into his side? And then I started to study things that said God allows things. And then I started looking at different ways and looking at that verse. And then I started studying that Moses smote the rock and water gushed forth. And there was the sight of Jesus sitting there with that blood in it. That blood had to flow. It wanted to come out. With power, it gushed. Every last drop that it needed to cleanse you and to cleanse me. So that we could be sanctified and set apart. Otherwise, it would have been impossible. His eternal purposes, his eternal plans had to be fulfilled. And then I'd go back and I'd study and I'd look at another angle at that verse. And the beauty of it would just come out about the love and Jesus hanging on the cross and saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And the love of Calvary to set me apart. He bled and he died for you and for me. And it's an eternal position. And we're going to see that because it's in Revelations 22 as my last little reference, okay? We're going to see that. Eternal positioning. So then our brother next spoke about the Holy Spirit. And his work in the position. And if we go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, with an open face, an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, in other words, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Go back to Ephesians in chapter 5. Verse 25, the latter part, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We see that there is a part there where the Holy Spirit is involved in the sanctification. In the Old Testament, the word sanctification has various different words, various rendering of one Hebrew word. And some of those renderings are consecration. Some of them are dedication. Sometimes it's sanctification. And sometimes it's holiness. And in the Old Testament, it's not always of a person. It's sometimes of a thing. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 8. Look at verse 3, Zechariah chapter 8. And look at there, where this is a passage where the Lord will restore Israel in the kingdom, by the way. Verse 3 of chapter 8, and thus the Lord I am returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of the host, the most holy mountain. A sanctified mountain. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple. A holy mountain and a holy city. So we see that that was before Christ died on the cross. We see set apart by God and called a holy mountain and a holy city. And so in the Old Testament we can see, and I read from the New Testament there, but in the first part of it there we can see that sometimes it's things that are sanctified. So it's either a person or a thing. Now I'd like to look together at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 13. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one came down from heaven, and an holy one came down from heaven. Verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven. I can remember the first time that I read about a watcher, and I wondered what it meant. And then in the New Testament, I found that the angels are watching this meeting. We generally think of the angel as a messenger, but the angels are watching. When you go to the little book right before Revelations, the little book of Jude, and the little book of Jude in verse 14 speaks about Enoch. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied to these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. And I had read in the Bible about other books that were quoted from that were not in our Bible. And so I wanted to extend my knowledge and read some on them. And so I picked up a paperback book of the book of Enoch. And I started reading from it. And finally I found the verse that this quote comes from. It's quoted right from the book. He prophesied it, see? Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That means as many as 10,000 of 10,000 of 10,000 of 10,000 of 10,000 that could pass by. He could call upon all of them if he wanted to. And our Lord, when he was going to Calvary, he could have called upon as many of them as he wanted to. And when we go to Song of Solomon, we say, my beloved, he is fairer than all of the ten thousands of ten thousands of ten thousands of ten thousands, no matter how many there is. And I was enjoying it. But all of a sudden, boom, there was the watchers in that book of Enoch. All over in there, referencing the angels as the watchers. So I started to understand a little bit about the watchers and an holy one in Daniel 4 and verse 13 and 23. Now, I'm going to switch this minute and I'll put the two together. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11. Leviticus chapter 11 and look at verse 45. For I am the Lord who bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God, and ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. The Holy One in Daniel, and this one here about God Himself. For I am holy. They have an inward moral quality about them that makes them holy. An inward moral quality that makes them holy. When it was used of us in Hebrews 10 and 10, it was set apart. Yes, we are a saint. Therefore, we are holy from the moment we were saved. When I look at my Lord, when I look at the triune Godhead, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, I look at myself and I read that I'm body, soul, and spirit. And I put the Spirit with the Holy Spirit. And I put my soul with God the Father in the seat of affection. He is love. And when I come over here to my body, and Jesus Christ became a man and took on the body, didn't he? He came down and became the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, we can experience a progression in our lives where there is a detachment from evil. But here we have God saying, I am holy. And the angels, the watchers coming down with an holy one. And the inward of them is holy. A moral quality. And so I'm looking at my body. And I need the consummation of my body to be changed. You know, salvation has three things in it. I was saved the minute I trusted and I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm currently being saved now. And in the future will be the completion of my salvation. Our sanctification is in three, in a triune also. I was set apart the moment I was saved. And the Holy Spirit works a part in me. Where I progress and move away from evil. And the consummation of my sanctification is going to be in a coming day soon, we hope, don't we? And we look for it and we pray. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons or the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Holy. In a body that's changed like unto him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I said that I would touch, and I want to sit down. I've taken right at half the time exactly, just about. Revelation 22, verse 11. At the end of verse 11, for the sake of time, I'm just going to read it. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. We're in the last chapter, the last part of the Word of God. The destiny is fixed. The moment we were saved and we were sanctified, our destiny was fixed. Let him that is holy be holy still, meaning forever and forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. We will be holy, spotless, undefiled, in a body like unto his. The consummation of our sanctification, let him that is holy be holy still.